Well, good morning. I hope your hippity-hoppitier is not too sore. One of the highlights of my week is sitting down with our independent bookseller of the week to discuss some great reads they want to share with Roundtable listeners. We've been doing this since the inception of the program, and it's still a thrill to talk about all of the great books, especially this time of the year when it's just like the bounty, the harvest is upon us.
My gosh, is it ever?
As evidenced by the mailbox. Amy Lane of Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery is here to convince you that there are wonderful titles that are winners that you, that by gum, there's something that is going to interest you and you're going to love it. And it's always a thrill. She's one of our favorites. Amy Lane, good morning. How are you?
I am well. Good morning.
Very nice to have you on the program, as always. How have you been?
Oh, I've been good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Some good stuff coming out.
There really is. And a lot of this is brand new today releases.
Good. All right. Where shall we begin?
I'm going to begin with one of our favorite authors at the Open Door Bookstore, Elizabeth Rosner.
Yep.
Who wrote Speed of Light and Electric City, which is a historical novel of Schenectady. She has a new book out called Survivor Cafe, The Legacy of Trauma and the Labyrinth of Memory. And are you familiar with her writing? Because it's exquisite.
We had her on the program to actually promote the
this
event that she did at the library and your event.
Good.
And she came in, and she's been in before, and is just lovely. And this book is beautiful.
It really
is stunning. And what she does with it, I love the word labyrinth, because it really is a nice descriptor for what she's doing.
It is. And I think one of the keys in all of this is the memory part of that as well.
Yes.
It's the labyrinth of memory. And it's not just the sharing of the experiences. It's that whole genetic concept that we have a genetic memory that gets passed along through the generations of the atrocities that these survivors experienced. And I found that aspect of it fascinating. But of course, what makes the book resonate and beautifully so is her own personal journey. I mean, it started because her parents were Holocaust survivors,
right,
and how that has always been a part of her as well.
And the visits that she makes with
right.
her father, a series of trips that she makes with her father.
Yes. So for those of you who haven't read this, who are unaware of her writing, pick this up. She really presents things. She's a poet, man. I just think she has that sensibility about her so that she can wrestle and grapple with larger themes and topics and pull everything and condense it down into that sort of essence and beauty, even amongst the tragedy and horror.
I said this to her when she was here, and I'll say it again. I said it's unfair to say this to any author, but this is a book that will make you think about your life differently.
Yeah.
And which is a heavy title to put on anything, but yet I defy anyone who, you know, has been batted around by life a little bit to read it and not feel
something,
yeah.
Yeah.
And exquisite is a great word. That's a beautiful description of the writing.
I think it's very thought-provoking.
Survivor Cafe, The Legacy of Trauma and the Labyrinth of Memory by Elizabeth Rosner. And you have signed copies of the bookstore.
We do. They've are in very short supply at this point in time, unfortunately.
Scant, but
scant
there
indeed.
You go.
I think I have one right here next to me. So.
Meet her at the store after.
Yes. So, okay. The next one I want to talk about, and again, I sort of feel like there's a bit of theme going through my stories today.
We like themes.
I don't mean it to happen. It's just sort of what occurs to me in thinking about the books as I'm, you know, talking about them and getting ready for this.
Kind of how we put the show together every day, Amy.
Well,
just gotta slap it together and see and find a theme.
But it's interesting how those themes sort of bubble up to the surface, and there are these little through lines that occur. And so the next one I wanted to talk about is Sing, Unburied, Sing by Jasmine Ward. And she wrote the National Book Award-winning Salvage the Bones, which had to do with Hurricane Katrina. And so her latest one, still again in the Gulf Coast, takes place. It's a 13-year-old boy, Jojo, and who's Mother Leone is basically a drug addict. His father, Michael, is in a penitentiary upstate in Mississippi, and he lives with his grandparents, his maternal grandparents, because his paternal grandparents will have nothing to do with them, and he's really trying to take care of his young toddler baby sister.
Yep.
And his father's getting paroled, so his mother takes he and his sister on a road trip, and that's what the majority of this book is. But along the way, we meet these ghosts. One is Leone's brother that she sees quite frequently while she's high. And the other is this young boy, well, young man, Richie, the ghost of Richie, who was a mate of his grandfather's. And there's just this passage that I really liked. It's a dialogue between Richie and Jojo as they're riding in the car. And Richie's basically, you know, telling him all the things he doesn't know. And what I like, somebody, one of the reviews that I had read about this made the comparison for me again with the Survivor Cafe, is that these ghosts are here to remind us of our past, right? Like that's the purpose of the ghosts in this book, is so we don't forget. And that's such an important piece of the struggles that we all go through, is that cliche of you don't want to forget history because you don't want to repeat it, right?
Right.
So, you know, so Richie's saying, I'm trying to find the right place. Stupidly, I didn't mark my beginning. oh, I love this. There's some beautiful writing in this. So, Michael starts the car and pulls out of the narrow gravel parking lot beside the gas station. Wind needs my scalp. This is my way to find that. Find what? A song? The place is the song, and I'm going to be the past of that song, the part of that song. That don't make no sense. It will, Richie says. It's why you can hear animals, see things that ain't there. It's a piece of you. It's everything inside of you and outside of you. What else? What? What else? I don't know. Richie laughs, an old man's laugh, a wheeze and a croak. Too much. The biggest ones. Home. I roll my eyes. Love. There's more, he says. He wiggles like the floor is too hard, like he doesn't like talking about love. The way he looks at me then, like the secretary at the school did when I was 7 and I had an accident and peed myself and Leone never showed up with clean clothes, so I sat on a hard orange plastic chair in the office and shivered for an hour until they got in touch with Mam and she came and walked me out of the AC into the hot day, like he's sorry for me, for what I got to learn. And time, he said. You don't know nothing about time.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. That is, you know, just I love that description of just the orange chair, you know,
right?
Just you, how
that hard orange chair?
Yeah, the hard orange chair that you just can so see.
Haven't we all sat
in
them?
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
But she's got that beautiful language,
gorgeous.
And that dialogue, and I love what she does with these characters. So check that out, Sing Unburied, Sing.
All right.
Next on my list is actually Ranger Games. By Ben Blum. The cover of this book is extraordinary for the fact that it kind of summarizes everything right on the front.
Oh, that's a very long... Okay.
It is.
Is so that I'm, all the subtitle? Or?
It's No.
Okay,
let's start
God.
With the subtitle, which is A Story of Soldiers, Family, and an Inexplicable Crime. And then it sort of begins the story on the cover. Alex Blum was a good kid, a popular high school hockey star from a tight-knit Colorado family. He had one goal in life, endure a brutally difficult selection program, become a U.S. Army Ranger, and fight terrorists for his country. He poured everything into achieving his dream. In the first hours of his final leave before deployment to Iraq, Alex was supposed to fly home to see his family and beloved girlfriend. Instead, he got into his car with two fellow soldiers and two strangers, drove to a local bank in Tacoma, and committed armed robbery.
Well, there you go.
Well, there you go.
Which makes you want to open the book.
Well, indeed it should. And what we discover as we read this book, which is, by the way, written by his cousin, Alex's cousin, Ben Blum, is the author of this particular book. And it's sort of as much a story of their relationship as it is. This moment in Alex's life sort of stunned his family. They couldn't understand how such a good kid could get roped into doing such a heinous act. And so the stories that Alex tells about, you know, thinking that it was just a training exercise, not really believing that it was a real thing, getting sort of set up like that. You know, as his story unfolds and Ben is trying to eke out the hows and the whys of all of this, he discovers inconsistencies, to say the least. There are pieces of this story that don't quite work with the whole picture. And as he interviews survivors, like the victims of that bank robbery, and it was an armed bank robbery, and it was sort of a terrorizing event. Anyway, so you get to meet the psychotic, charismatic leader of this band of Rangers who went in and committed this crime, and it's man, just read it. That's all I have to say. It's a gripping story of why and how this occurred and what really went on.
The name of the book is Ranger Games, a story of soldiers, family, and an inexplicable crime. It is by Ben Blum.
We're running out of time.
No, you're fine. You got like 5 minutes.
Okay, so the next one is getting a lot of press, and I don't have it with me, but it's called My Absolute Darling by Gabriel Tallent. I don't know if you've read this one.
I have not.
Okay. This should be on, I think this is the novel to sort of be on everybody's radar at this point. It's getting a lot of attention as a debut novel, and it's about this young girl named Turtle. She named herself, by the way, who is raised by this kind of monstrous, he is, there's no sort of about it. He's a monster, abusive father. And this is how she's lived her whole life, knowing nothing else. And she's at an age, again, 13, where she's starting to realize that the relationship with her father isn't quite right. And it's her story of trying to break free from that. And in some ways, it's less of an introspective telling of her coming of age, and more, it's a little more action-oriented in some ways. Like, it's really driven by motion and action in her, what she does, as opposed to what she thinks, or even necessarily what she feels. But it's hypnotic. It's absolutely gripping. I think everybody should be aware of it and take a look at it. It's not easy at times, because he's I think a monster is a really nice way to put it.
Yeah. Stephen King says of the book, the word masterpiece has been cheapened by too many blurbs.
Yeah.
But My Absolute Darling absolutely is one.
Mm-hmm. And if Stephen King thinks that.
My Absolute Darling
is
by Gabriel Tallent.
Okay, so the next one, this is a little bit lighter. Yay! And who knew that Bette Davis would be the lightest part of this show?
Wow. All right. Good deal. I'm in.
Here we go. But it's actually this book called Miss D and Me, Life with the Invincible Bette Davis by Catherine Cermak, who was Bette Davis's personal assistant, kind of like live-in helper from 1979 to 1985. And actually, Catherine was one of the people who was with her at her bedside during her stroke and her surgeries and all of that. And it's a really lovely account. I think it's a lot of what Catherine herself experienced and learned via Bette Davis and working with Bette Davis, mm-hmm. as much as it is about Bette Davis herself. And it's not gossipy. It's not going to be trashy. If you're really looking for that sort of insider goop, then go somewhere else.
Okay.
But it's, I think it's very honest. Like, she's not trying to sugarcoat or gloss over her, Bette Davis's, bad behavior that we're all familiar with and know about, but she's also adding a nice opposite side. Like, so she's humanizing her in a lovely personal way, and so I think that's a nice, like, I don't know, interesting perspective that we have yet to have seen.
Miss D and Me, Life with the Invincible Bette Davis.
Okay, so now I'm into my kids' books, which I'm super duper excited about.
Cool.
Yeah. So sort of the middle grade book that I have on tap for today is Insignificant Events in the Life of a Cactus by Dusty Bowling. And so the main character is a young girl named Avon Green, and she was born armless, right? So she gets through life basically using her feet to do all the things that other people's, you know, arms do for them. But this is not a story of, you know, that sort of struggle and overcoming that. To an extent, it is. But it's really funny. I mean, it's hilarious. Her characters are just, this girl is a delight at every turn. She makes up stories because inevitably people will always ask her, what happened to your arms? Where did they go? And so she's creates these grandiose stories like, I was, you know, they fell off. They were burned off in a wildfire in the mountains of Tunisia.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. So she grows up in this elementary school, and so all the kids there accept her. They know her. She doesn't have to deal with this very much. And then her father gets this job in Arizona. So they relocate at the beginning of her eighth grade year. And it's at this, like, Old West amusement park is this new job. And so she has to go through it all again, right? And she's the outsider. She needs to meet new people. She's got to deal with the fact that she has to, again, tell these stories of her arms. And she does. But then there's this mystery that happens at the old amusement park. All these things start to go missing and odd pieces are happening, and so sort of like ghostly haunts, and she sets out to solve this mystery with the help of two other sort of outsider friends. So it's got a lot going on. It's a lot of fun, and it's well worth the read.
Insignificant Events in the Life of a Cactus by Dusty Bowling.
And then I've got two picture books, both very different, but I love them both. The one, The Antlered Ship by Dashka Slater, and it's illustrated by the Fan Brothers, is exquisite. I urge people, if you like art and story, to pick up this beautiful melding of the two. Read it slowly. Take in every single picture. It's about this little fox who asks a lot of questions, and other foxes are not interested in answering the questions. Like, why is water so wet? Right? Yeah. Why is the sky so blue?
The hard ones.
Yeah, those hard questions. And then he meets this ship at the shore and gets aboard with them, and they come across these pirates, and it's these beautiful, like, animals and stories and the illustrations.
Oh, the illustrations are gorgeous.
They're stunning. They're really beautifully detailed. And
I want to be that bear.
Yes. I kind of want to be the ferret. but they're really, really... it's a beautiful melding. Take your time with this, both the story and the illustrations. Enjoy it. Soak it in. It's brilliant. I hope it wins a Caldecott. And
it's The Antlered Ship
by
Dashka Slater and illustrated by the Fan Brothers.
Yes. And then the next one is by one of my favorite authors, Michelle Cuevas. It's illustrated by Sydney Smith. It's called Smoot, a Rebellious Shadow. And it's, of course, the shadow who catches loose from his boy and goes out. And then all these other shadows decide to leave their friends and companions, like a dandelion takes off, a frog prince takes off, and all these others. And it's a wonderful, delightful picture book as well.
Smoot. Very cool.
Smoot.
Smoot, a rebellious shadow. Anything else going on? Anything fun?
Well, we've got a great author coming in on Wednesday afternoon at noon. His name is Dennis Bender. He told the story of this high school football game in Schenectady that never got played because two of the players, one from each team, contracted polio in 1954.
Oh, geez.
It's fascinating. Fascinating history.
So tomorrow afternoon, 12 to 1:30 at the Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery in Schenectady. Go check them out. They're right there on J Street in Schenectady. Go see them, or you can check them out online. Which is Open Door Bookstore.
opendoor-bookstore.com.
Should know that by now. say hi to Amy while you're there. If you're visiting, you can also check out the list, wamc.org/roundtable. Always a pleasure to see you.
Likewise.
Have a lovely fall, and we'll see you soon.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.